You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network. Hey, what's up, everybody? Just a quick note to let you know that today's episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show contains some language which some listeners may find upsetting. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Let's go. There's a team that's in our hearts. We've got love that won't depart. We are always in the stands, 'cause we're Super Dolphin fans. Football is mighty rough, winning gets awful tough. We're rooting for the Dolphins, our mighty, mighty Dolphins. We're rooting for the Dolphins, our mighty, mighty Dolphins.
Fuck the Jets.
Right off the bat, wasting no time, singing the song, it's Fuck the Jets week. Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Brain, it is, I think it's one of my favorite weeks of the season. It's when we play the Jets for the first time. Because there have been rivalries throughout Dolphins history. There was a period of time in the 90s, of course, where it was the Bills. That was like the number one rivalry, right? But really, since the Bills faded from power, it really became the Jets that were the team that you just had that extra little bit of disdain for, that extra little bit of something, that extra, they just always had that little bit of extra juice. It always felt a little bit sweeter when you beat the Jets. And that remains true today, especially with those people, those fans of the Jets, drinking the Aaron Rodgers Kool-Aid. They're taking all of the, weird, darkness retreats and all of the things. They're totally all in with Aaron Rodgers. He is now their God, and their God died four plays in to the 2023 season. And yes, the Christmas season is around the corner, and they are hoping that he is going to rise from the dead and lead them to the promised land. But the Miami Dolphins are coming to town. They're coming to the Meadowlands this Sunday to make sure that that dream stays dead, because Aaron, it is Fuck the Jets week, and I am fired up, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just Fuck the Jets week, but it's Thanksgiving week. It is Era of Thanksgiving. Gotta love it.
Era of Thanksgiving. That's right. And it's the holiday season. There's a lot to be thankful for. And again, a reminder, we do all things with love while I'm here on vacation. And I am absolutely hating the Jets with as much love as I possibly can. So let's go. We're going to get into it on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. We're going to talk Dolphins Jets. We're going to talk Hard Knocks, and then we're going to talk Thanksgiving, because as you mentioned, Thanksgiving is on Thursday. Some of you may be listening to this on Thanksgiving, maybe the day after Thanksgiving, but either way, it is the thankful season. So we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're going to do a little toast at the end. So maybe grab yourself a drink. I've got a little drink here. So maybe we can do a little toast at the end of the show here. But before we dive into all of that, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm Amplified to Rock. He's Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also follow me on Blue Sky at Amplified to Rock, the show at Same Old Dolphins as well. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcasts. Of course, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day, and make sure you have subscribed to the Dolphins Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live, just like right now. Shout out to everybody spending the night before Thanksgiving with us here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Also, a special shout out to everybody watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We appreciate you being with us. Leave us a thought in your comments. What is your favorite? We always do our one hot take segment, and we're going to do that about the Jets. We're going to get into that about the Jets game. But also, so leave us your one hot take for the Jets game. Leave it in the comments, but leave us your one hot take about Thanksgiving in the comments too, because we're going to be getting into that a little bit later on in the show. I want to give you plenty of advance warning that we're going to be talking about that. But let's dive right into it, Brain. Dolphins, Jets, this Sunday. Excuse me, not Sunday, this Friday. It's a Black Friday game, the first ever Black Friday game for the National Football League. The Dolphins' first Friday night game since 2005, when I believe that they were taking on the Chiefs and there was a hurricane coming through, so they bumped the game up a couple of days to get it played out of the way. They ended up losing that game to Kansas City, of all teams, go figure. But either way, it's a short week, big week coming up, Dolphins, Jets. I think we're going to get right into it, and I think the biggest question about this game, I think the biggest thing that is going to be a factor in this game for the Dolphins is whether or not their offense can get clicking against this tough Jets defense. So let's start there when the Dolphins have the ball, because as we know, the Jets have a very solid defense. And we know that the Dolphins offense has not really been functioning on all cylinders really since, you know, probably since the Eagles game. I mean, I guess you could say that the Carolina game in between there, they got cooking eventually, but I mean, it's been a lot slower for this team since then, a lot of slow starts. So there is this question of whether or not they are going to be able to really get things back into that high octane flow that we like to see from this team. And I guess looking at this, what is going to be the key to the Dolphins moving the ball? We know the Jets have a very good pass defense, but perhaps they are a little bit vulnerable when it comes to running the ball.
Yeah, well, I think the thing about the Jets defense is they're not going to make anything easy on you. They're not going to just, they're not going to lay down. You're not going to gash them over and over and over again. So you need to put drives together. So you need to be on point. I don't think it's dissimilar from what you saw last week against the Raiders. The Raiders are going to probably, you know, the Jets are probably going to load up the box a little bit when they can on, you know, running downs. And, you know, they're probably going to trust their secondary to, you know, contain the Dolphins receivers. So, you know, I think obviously if you can come up with a few explosive plays, that's going to make your job a lot easier as far as putting points on the board. But I think really what this is going to come down to is the Dolphins doing two things that they did not do well against the Raiders, which is number one, pick up first downs on third down. So do a better job on third down, because you're going to see some third downs against this Jets defense. And then the second thing is protect the ball. Because we'll get into the other side of the ball, but this is a really bad Jets offense. So the only way that the Dolphins are losing this game is if they don't protect the ball.
Yeah, and I think there's a very good chance that they're going to do that better. Hopefully they will. It has been a little bit of an issue. Again, -5 on the season in turnover margin, so that's not good. Got to fix that. But one of the things that I think is going to be really interesting here is that this, I think one of the strengths for this Jets team, in addition to the fact that they can get home with just four guys rushing, is that they've got a pair of really athletic linebackers in CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams. And these are guys that are going to be able to get to the outside and slow down that Dolphins outside zone run attack. Very similarly to how we saw Philadelphia have success in shutting that down for the Dolphins. We saw Kansas City have some success in doing that. And I think a lot of that aligns with the fact that the Dolphins are missing those guards inside. And it sounds like there is a chance we could get Robert Hunt back for this game, which would do a lot, because that would allow us to also, you know, to get perhaps take Lester Cotton out and put Liam Eikenberg in there at left guard, because those two guys, I mean, Lester Cotton in particular, is part of the reason that that outside run has failed, is because Cotton does not have that same kind of athletic ability to get quickly to the outside to lead the way and open up some of those running lanes the way that we saw Isaiah Wynn have success earlier in the season. So we know that that's been one of the issues. The question is, will the Dolphins be able to have success perhaps running the ball inside? We know that at this point, I mean, since last we recorded, we learned that Savon Ahmed is now out for the year with a foot injury, which is we wish him all the best for a speedy recovery. But we also don't know what the status yet of Devon Achane is going to be. Mike McDaniel said today that there isn't really fear that there is going to be further injury for Achane. It's really just more of, you know, can they get him to do everything that they want him to do? Will he be fully prepped and prepared to play mentally, all of that, in order to do everything that they need him to do? But other than that, I mean, it's Raheem Mostert, it's Jeff Wilson. If Achane can't go, you're probably activating Darrington Evans up from the practice squad to fill out the running back room. So then it's going to be, can Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson carry the load and run against the Jets? The Jets can be run on, but I think that's going to be the key to opening everything else up so that the Dolphins can get their passing game going, because we know that the Jets are pretty locked down when it comes to stopping the passing game.
Yeah, I think there's got to be balance is what it comes down to. I think you've got to be able to keep the pass rushers at bay by running the ball. You've got to be able to pick up yards on the ground when you run on first down, so you're not playing behind the sticks. And then the biggest thing is the one that we're going to talk about all season until the Dolphins prove that they can do it, which is you need to be able to run the ball on third and fourth and short to pick up the yard or two when you need it.
Yeah, so that's kind of what the thing is to look at on offense. I mean, really what you're talking about here offensively for the Dolphins is, can you score? Let's say if you could score three offensive touchdowns, you win this game. I think
you win it easily. I mean, yeah. The Jets are averaging 9 points a game over their last four games. So I think you get to 20 and you're probably winning the game by two scores at that point.
Right. And that's just relying on what you're doing on offense. So I think there's a lot of possibilities there for the Miami Dolphins. If they can, I mean, they also have the opportunity, because the Jets do have a vaunted pass deep or a vaunted defense, although their defense looked a little bit washed in that game against Buffalo last week. But if you can, like, get right offensively against this Jets team, that's just the kind of thing that is going to start filling people with confidence. Even though the Jets are not great as a whole, that would be exactly the confidence boost that this team is looking for as they head into, you know, this second half of the season. They come down the home stretch. That would be really good vote of confidence, especially with the next two games being the Commanders and Tennessee Titans. So really great opportunity here for the Dolphins if they can get things right against the Jets on Sunday in terms of the offense. But what about the other side of the ball? We learned Monday, and I think I mentioned this on Monday's show, that the Jets have not only have they demoted Zach Wilson from being the starter, they've actually made him the third string quarterback when it comes to active quarterbacks on their roster, behind the number two quarterback, Trevor Siemian, and the number one quarterback, Tim Boyle. And if I could share an absolutely absurd statistic about Tim Boyle, I would like to do that on this show now. Brain, this is courtesy of Simon Clancy from 3 Yards Per Carry, sent this tweet out. On Friday, when Miami play the Jets and Tim Boyle, they will play a quarterback with an astonishing record. In his career, and this is high school, college, and pro, Boyle has thrown 45 touchdowns and 59 interceptions. He's minus 14 in touchdowns to turnovers since he started playing the game as a kid. This is who the New York Jets are starting at quarterback on Black Friday in front of a national audience. Tim wow. Boyle. This is why Charlie Touche calls them the paper planes, because this is absolutely absurd. Shout out to my guys at Go Time Dolphins. Brain, I mean, it seems to me that the key to stopping this Jets team is you just got to stay contained. You just got to do what you got to do, and you just got to make sure that Breece Hall doesn't beat you. And if you can do that, you're going to win this game.
Yeah, 100%. You don't give up the big play. That's what this defense is kind of built to do. And you'll be fine if you don't get, because this team is, the Jets are not going to consistently put together 10 to 15 play drives to put touchdowns on the board. Like, you know, if they put a couple of drives together and get a couple of field goals, okay, fine. But like, that's not going to beat you. You know, the way that you lose this game is by losing the turnover margin and by giving up points with your offense and special teams. Obviously, the defense needs to play well, but the deck is stacked so far in the favor of this defense that I'd be shocked if this defense gives up more than 10 points in this game. So that just puts the onus on the other phases of the game. Like, don't give up points in special teams. Don't give up points with bad turnovers in your own, on your own side of the 50. Like, that's really all it comes down to. But defensively, I mean, it's a ragtag offensive line. Defensive line has been getting better and better as the season goes on. Should be able to get pressure. Secondary is obviously coming into form. I just don't see how this defense, unless they just come out ultra flat and just aren't prepared, I don't see how this defense doesn't have a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems to make sense that this shouldn't be a huge challenge for the Dolphins defense, especially a defense that is really starting to turn things on, as we've seen over the past few weeks. So with the assumption that they can hold things down and hold down the fort, I think, I don't know. It has the potential to be a fairly easy day at the office, but it could also very much be, as Kevin Dern referred to this, as a rock fight, where you have two teams just going after each other because the defenses are just getting the upper hand the whole time. And so, like, that's which brings it back to what I said before, which is really about whether or not the Dolphins are going to be able to scratch out a couple of touchdowns in this game. And if they can do that, they should get the victory. So you've heard what we have to say, but now we want to hear what you have to say. So let us know, what is your hashtag one hot take for Dolphins at Jets on Black Friday? If you're watching live on the Dolphin Suck YouTube channel, put it in the chat. If you're watching live on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, put it in the chat. If you're watching on demand, put it in the comments. We want to hear from you. Smash that like button as well if you haven't done that yet. And let's see what the people have to say. Brain, I'll go to you first. What is your one hot take for Dolphins at Jets on Black Friday? Or I could also start with myself because, you know, we all know what mine's going to be.
All right, so I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go the corner opposite of Jalen Ramsey. With Jalen Ramsey back and firmly asserting himself as an elite corner coming off of the injury, it means that opposing quarterbacks are going to start challenging Xavien Howard that much more. And they're not, and they maybe remember, or maybe they don't, how good Xavien Howard is at forcing turnovers, at being a ball hawk. Dude's been the best ball hawk in the league since he entered the league. And I think he's going to get a pair of interceptions, but I'm going to go one further. He's not just going to get a pair of interceptions. He is going to get an interception off of two different Jets quarterbacks in this game.
That is an excellent hot take from the brain. I love it. Xavien Howard to have interceptions off of two separate Jets quarterbacks in this game. I love it. Here's what we had to say on Twitter. Steve Sfakas says Miami's defense scores at least 75% as many points as its offense. Let's see. P0113580 says it's a close game throughout with Miami pulling away in the fourth quarter. Mostert will have two total touchdowns and over 125 total yards. Reek goes 8 for 110, but no touchdown. And the defense gets two or more sacks plus a turnover. That was multiple takes, but we'll allow it. Music guy says same old Dolphins, just as your name suggests. We win one of the greatest football games in history, 9-6. Sanders hits three field goals, misses four, but defense holds Jets to two field goals. That is a hot take from Music Guy. Corey says Jets score no more than six. Let's see. Danny Wren says he actually thinks our Finns are going to blow them out. Bubba M. Huckleberry says the refs will score two touchdowns through the Jets. Going to be closer than we think. Nicholas Halden says Jets win 6-3. Three Kids Are a Blessing says one score game. Jets plus 10 is easy money. Picture Perfect to us as we score over 30. Fer Contreras says Raheem Mostert over 100 rushing yards. Rudy Vigil says Wilkins scores a touchdown. Colin Barnes says first team to 17 wins. Dolphins Wisconsin says Ramsey pick six. William Five, a man after my own heart, says Alec Ingold scores a touchdown. Harry Plotter says Dolphins will not look as good as everyone seems to think. Do not see a blowout incoming. Dan Robbins simply says shutout. Hippus MC1 says Tua throws a pick six. Mr. C says Ramsey INT, Howard INT, and Baker INT. I love that. And let's see what we've got here in the chat so far. Brian S. says, Dolphins defense does so well that the Jets put in their third string quarterback. Love that. J.M. Santos, our good friend, says, Dolphins D will lance the Jets boil. That is a dad pun. Aaron has given him a thumbs up there. Anthony Mancini says, my hot take, I can leave MetLife at halftime up by four touchdowns, heading home with a smile on my face. That is some confidence.
Don't do that.
And finally, Jordan Murray, one hot take, Boyle scores an opening touchdown pass to Xavien Howard. We love to see it. We love to see it. Yeah, a lot of great comments from everybody. Keep them coming. Leave us in the comments on the YouTube. I will do my best to respond to all of the takes that you leave behind. I'll give you my one hot take. It's the same as it ever was. I'm not going to change it. Haven't changed it before. Not going to change it now. Alec Ingold receiving touchdown Friday on Amazon. Let's go. And by the way, speaking of Amazon, according to Joe Shad, is making this Black Friday game available via Amazon to anybody with an Amazon account. You don't need to be a Prime subscriber to watch the game on Amazon. Now, of course, if you're in Broward or Miami-Dade County, the game will be broadcast over the air, I believe, on NBC. But if you're obviously in the New York, New Jersey metro area, it'll be on TV as well. But otherwise, Amazon, Prime Video, don't even need the Prime account. You'll be able to watch this game. So very exciting times. Brain, you care to make a prediction? Final score?
Yeah, I think it's going to be close. I don't think the Dolphins are going to blow them out. I think we've seen the Dolphins offense struggle against good defenses really all season. So I don't see anything that has made me feel like this is going to change. And honestly, with, you know, my thought about this is going into this game, because the Jets are so inept on offense, you might actually want to be a little bit more conservative than you usually are, just because the only way that you're losing this game is by turning the football over. But that really is not the MO of Mike McDaniel. So I'm not going to be surprised if the Dolphins actually turn the ball over once or twice in this game and, you know, the Jets get some easy points out of it. But I just think that the Jets offense is just that inept that I just don't think it's going to take much to beat them. I think if you put up 20, you easily win this game. And I think the Dolphins will find a way to put up 20. I've got the Dolphins winning this game 20-9.
I like it. I like 20-9. I think it's going to be a hard fought game. It's going to be back and forth. Just in terms of the defense is just going to town. But I do believe the Dolphins will do enough, and I believe the Dolphins are going to get that victory. Let's call it 24-13 for your Miami Dolphins. So as Three Kids Are a Blessing says, according to my prediction, Jets plus 10 is a good bet. So
what's the total in this game?
That is a great question. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
Because I'd be very, very confident with the under, unless the total is way, way low.
Let me see. I'm in the process of looking it up right now. Let's see.
Looks like 42.5.
Let's see what I've got here on DraftKings. It looks like, yeah, 41 is what it's currently at on DraftKings. Yeah.
I'm taking the under. I would take the under.
I think so, too. So there it is. There's your betting advice for entertainment purposes only. Speaking of for entertainment purposes only, we're going to transition to talking about the season premiere of Hard Knocks in season with the Miami Football Dolphins. And I'm very curious to think what everybody to hear what everybody says. So leave us your comments in the chat or below on the Facebook page. I'm very curious to hear what everybody thought of Hard Knocks. We're thinking about, you know, having a little Hard Knocks conversation the rest of the season, as this show is going to go on for the rest of the season. This Hard Knocks will follow the Dolphins for as long as this season goes. So if they make a run all the way to the Super Bowl, Hard Knocks is going to be there every step of the way. If the Dolphins somehow miss the playoffs, then week 18 is going to be the last time we see them. But this show is going to be around for a little while, and we just got the debut episode, which I think knowing that they're going to be around for at least 9 episodes is part of the reason that it felt like maybe it wasn't a super action-packed episode. There was a lot of intro, a lot of just setting the stage for what is to come. But I thought this was a really great little show. Brain, what were your big takeaways from the first episode of Hard Knocks?
So, you know, entertaining. I had two real takeaways. My first takeaway was seeing that Tyreek Hill actually hurt his hand prior to the play, the fourth and one play call. That aggravated the hell out of me, because not only was it a bad play call anyway, but you actually knew that Tyreek Hill had a bum hand at that point. So it just made the play call that much worse. That really irritated me. Other than that, and this is something that I don't want to read too much into, but we'll see. The Dolphins, and Mike McDaniel in particular, has been criticized in the past of not being a disciplinarian, of not, and also of the Dolphins kind of recently coming out flat, not looking necessarily ready to play on the big stage. And what I saw in his interaction with the team, now Mike McDaniel is very energetic. And that's cool, but I could not help but watch that and feel like at times it was a little cringe, because Mike McDaniel was so amped and there was no reaction from the players. And, you know, again, I don't want to read too much into it, because, you know, the Jets players seemed very engaged in their Hard Knock season with Coach Saleh. And I mean, look at that team. They're a dumpster fire. But also you understand that a large part of that is because Aaron Rodgers is hurt. So I wonder how much, and yeah, the survey, the anonymous player survey came out, and Mike McDaniel was like second in voting as far as coaches that players would like to play for. So I'm not saying that he's not a player's coach or that the players don't like him, but it seems like there's just this, I call it a radical positivity that he coaches with, which I'm not saying is necessarily a bad thing. Did you see at any point in that episode, and granted, it's edited, did you see at any point in that episode Mike McDaniel show any sort of annoyance, frustration, or even just holding a player accountable and saying, hey, that's not what we want to do here, and just make it even in a gentle way? It just seems like there's this radical positivity, and he's not holding guys accountable. And maybe that's why the players like playing for him so much, because frankly, they can get away with anything. And that it's a little too loose. Again, don't want to read up too much into anything. And at the end of the day, we're going to play the result.
Like, that's what's going to happen. If the Dolphins go out and they lose a game that they're not supposed to lose, we're going to kill McDaniel and we're going to say, hey, this team wasn't ready to play. McDaniel needs to crack the whip a little bit. And then if they win, everybody's going to say, see, this is how you coach now with this generation of players. So you're going to play the result either way, but that was my takeaway.
Yeah, see, I don't know. The thing about Mike McDaniel to me is that we know that he has a very sort of holistic approach to how he coaches football. These are his players. This is how he talks to them in a very he considers them as whole people, not just football players. And I think that was reflected because that was my takeaway actually. Was that I was like, I really like that we get to see this more of Mike McDaniel doing this. And it didn't come across to me as cringe. It came across to me like he's just talking to these guys as people and that's who they are. And, you know, yeah, I'm sure there will be a time for him to sit down there and hold them accountable. But it's also like, I don't know how much holding guys accountable you need to be doing in the first practice back after a bye week. You know, you're not going to be, you know, busting in, you know, laying into guys. I think if that was going to happen, it probably happened in those last few days before all of that happened. But regardless, I thought it was, I take your point regarding McDaniel.
Well, what I want to make a distinction of is I'm not saying that I want Mike McDaniel like in the faces of guys yelling at play. Like that's not who he is. And I don't think you need to be like that.
Sure.
With today's generation of players, but you could take like Tony Dungy never yelled at a player, but that didn't mean that he didn't hold players accountable. Or pull players aside and say, hey, you know what? I saw that you did that. That really isn't what we want. This is what you need to do and have a teaching moment. What I'm seeing from McDaniel is, I mean, you know, we're not seeing everything, but it just seems like it's just all positive all the time. And if that's the case, you're going to let things slide. And then when you juxtapose that, with a team that's -5 in turnover margin and seems to make the same mistakes over and over and over again, it just kind of makes you wonder.
Sure. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was the polar opposite of Mike McDaniel, who was sort of quiet and personable and, you know, kind of almost laid back, was Anthony Campanile going absolutely nuts with that speech about the universal language of ass whooping. That was tremendous, tremendous. Leading it off with the Vince Lombardi quote, I thought that was amazing. He was great. And then giving out the credit cakes to the defensive players, I loved it. I love it. One universal language, ass whooping. Loved it. Absolutely loved that. You know, as a whole, again, I feel like the entire show is, you know, it was nice. It was great. It wasn't some spectacular episode of Hard Knocks or anything like that overall, as somebody who's watched a lot of the series. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good introduction. And again, it was really, this was setting everything up for all of the weeks that are going to come. I think we're going to hear a lot more from a lot more players. Like this episode was primarily focused on Tua. I mean, even not so much on Tua, but really on Tyreek and Coach McDaniel. And I feel like we're going to eventually get stories on Xavien Howard. We're going to hear from Jalen Ramsey. One of the things that I think was the most interesting and really curious, especially in light of the game coming up on Friday, is that there was not a single mention of Devon Achan in this episode of Hard Knocks. Not a single mention of him. And as we know, the Dolphins get, you know, right of first refusal for what they want to allow in the show. So it's very possible that they were like, don't say anything about Achan because they want to keep it a mystery and try to play a little mind games heading in the game on Friday. So loved, you know, thought that was really interesting. Other little things that I thought were great with Tyreek shooting hoops and kind of like money from the field right before the meeting at the start of the episode. Tyreek just draining shots from everywhere. I like Tua getting all fired up for the Secret Santa because of course Tua is that guy at the office who is so fired up for the Secret Santa and the white elephant that he can't think about anything else. Absolutely love that. You know, I thought it was funny that the referee is out there telling Tyreek not to make a peace sign. Now, I don't know if this is real, but I saw a shot of Tyreek with his full hand up, and on the glove, on the hand side of the glove, somebody had drawn a peace sign. So it was still a peace sign, but he had his full hand up. I thought that was really interesting. And then, of course, we had, what's that?
Did you catch the ref telling Tua
Stay healthy. We need you.
Stay healthy. We're going to need you.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? We're going to need you.
That referee is not a Bills fan, is what he's saying. I don't know what that's about. It was an interesting comment. So I think the it was league mainly has just about
what it told me is that the league has a stake
an in officiating keeping, problem. No kidding.
Well, they have a stake in keeping Tua healthy.
Well, they got a stake in keeping all their quarterbacks healthy, as we've seen, because the drop off in play when you get these backup quarterbacks in there is ridiculous. Although we might see an exception on Friday because the Jets have a backup quarterback that couldn't possibly be worse than the guy who had been starting for them. And then finally we had Nacho Gate, which is, the dude dropping his nachos on Tyreek Hill's wife. Now, to be fair, it was on her. She knocked them down. She hit the dude's nachos. That was on her. But what I thought was really interesting about that was, did you notice that happened? And then later on in the half, it was the beginning of the last drive of the game for the Raiders, and they went back to Tyreek's mom and Tyreek's wife sitting in the stands. Did you notice that the guy that dropped the nachos was no longer there? Somebody was flexing their muscles, is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll say this, is that, be a gentleman, dude. Like, you drop the nachos and you're like apologizing, but you're not like, I know you want to watch the game or whatever, but you just drop nachos on this woman. You just drop a bunch of nacho cheese. It's in her hair. It's everywhere. And you're going to make her get up and go get like napkins. Go up and get some napkins. If you miss a few plays, you miss a few plays, but be a gentleman, dude.
Be a gentleman. Be a gentleman. Don't actually clean her up, but go get some napkins or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Hard Knocks. We're gonna be checking in on Hard Knocks throughout the rest of the season here. I think if nothing else, it's a fun extra look into the world of the Miami Dolphins, a glimpse of part of that world that we don't typically get to see, and I think that is really cool. So now we're gonna transition to talking about Thanksgiving because it is Thanksgiving. So before we do that, a real quick reminder, if you haven't gone to Caldera Lab and used the promo code DolphinsTalk to get some great creams and serums for your face, gentlemen, you should do that. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk and you'll save 20% off of your order. So now what I want to do is find out what your one hot take is for Thanksgiving. The way that I posed this question on Twitter, and again, if you're not following me on Twitter, you should do so, at Amplified to Rock. I said, what is your hashtag one hot take about Thanksgiving that puts people in their feelings? And I got a lot of really great responses here. Mike from Dolphins Talk says, when I watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and say it was John Candy's best work in a movie, which is a fantastic take, actually. PA Finns fan says, Thanksgiving is the goat of holidays. I said what I said. But then we've got the Shea Kitten who says, turkey just isn't that good.
100%.
I agree. Agree. Jordan Murray says the tryptophan from the turkey is truth serum. JB just says, remembering this Thanksgiving gift, and he shares a gif of the infamous butt fumble, which was the Thanksgiving game. Eric with a correct take that stovetop is not an acceptable stuffing for Thanksgiving. JM Santos says, I always think of this guy who, along with Pat Summerall, made Thanksgiving an always memorable time. He's got a gif from John Madden Football. Of John Madden just saying, boom. It's fantastic. NorCal Finns and Suns fan, turkey and stuffing are only eaten once per year for a good reason. True. SM says, cranberry sauce doesn't belong on the table. True. Rogue Lion, the most overrated and boring of all holiday menus, which is certainly, that's an interesting take and one that I can't completely disagree with. James Vernon says, the Pilgrim Father should have never left England. Wonder if that's a British guy take. 20 Years Gone says it's perfectly fine to celebrate Thanksgiving with the Christmas decorations up because Thanksgiving is a holiday and Christmas is a season. Come at me, Scrooges. I'm here for this, actually. I'm here for this. And not only because my wife is a huge Christmas fan, but I'm here for getting those Christmas decorations up as soon as Halloween is over. Why not? Nina Smith says those who are missing. Phil Piccolo says remembering loved ones who were lost. Both excellent sentiments. Derek L says best holiday of the year. Wes says, the mom at my favorite Chinese restaurant yells at everyone in a slightly nicer tone. Lions Echo says, ham is greater than turkey. And finally, Finn's Fan says, NFL teams that play on Thanksgiving should be rotated each year. I kind of agree with that, but I also do like the tradition of seeing the Lions and Cowboys every Thanksgiving on TV. Let's see what we got here in the chat. Any Thanksgiving chat? Here. Let's see. If you're volunteering to make mac and cheese for Thanksgiving, I'm going to need three references. This is fantastic from Brian S. That is an excellent take. Yes, because I think all of us have had some rubbish macaroni and cheese on Thanksgiving before. Brian, what is your favorite take for Thanksgiving?
Well, I completely agree with turkey is not that good. And so I want to expound upon that. And I want to do away with the turkey dinner being the Thanksgiving dinner. What I believe Thanksgiving should be, and what it is in my family, is it's the Super Bowl for food. And so you should not be making something that you make once a year that nobody likes. What you should be doing is working all year at perfecting your favorite recipes and then making your best recipes on Thanksgiving. So whatever that is, whatever your culture is, you should be celebrating that food. And, you know, ultimately, this country is about, you know, a mix of cultures. So, you know, we should not just be eating turkey and mashed potatoes and green beans. You know, if you love Italian food, I mean, look, if you're in an Italian family, Italian families aren't sitting around a turkey dinner. They're eating like five pasta dishes and all kinds of awesome Italian. They've got it right. Make the food that you love and make it great and splurge and in abundance. That's what it's about.
Yes. Love it. Love that. I would agree completely with that, with the idea of mixing up the different food. Although, for me, Thanksgiving is the dessert is even better than the dinner. The dessert is where it's at. And I'm thinking about the Thanksgiving that I'm going to be sitting down at on Thursday is going to have pumpkin pie, apple pie. I believe there's going to be a potentially a chocolate cream pie as well. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm fired up for dessert. I am one of those guys who will strategically not eat very much at dinner, which is hard because I love a green bean casserole. But I purposely try to not fill up on dinner so that I can then like go hard on the dessert, because that's where it's at. Dessert is where it's at. But as I do, so I feel like we've done this every year that we do the Thanksgiving show. I want to close with a toast for Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is a time where we should give thanks. And I feel like, you know, this is the Dolphins podcast, so we'll give thanks for the Dolphins. But I want to talk a little bit about that. So everybody, raise your glass and let's do a little toast here. I am drinking tonight, since I'm in the Chicago suburbs again, I am drinking Koval. That's K-O-V-A-L, single barrel bourbon whiskey, which is just a very nice, smooth bourbon. It's distilled right here in the Chicago area. It has notes of vanilla with like a caramel finish almost on it. So it's very good. So let's go ahead and raise a glass. And here's what I'd like to say. I think it's important at this time of year to always just take a minute to be thankful, whether it is for friends and family, or perhaps things are going great at work, things are going great at school. Perhaps maybe everything isn't going great. Maybe a lot of things are going badly. But the fact is, if you can hear me right now, if the words that are leaving my mouth are reaching your ears, that means that things are not as bad as they could be, that you have time to sit and think about the Miami Dolphins and listen to two jabronis like me and my brother talk about the Miami Dolphins week in and week out. And if those words are reaching your ears, whether they're reaching your ears live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube page or live on the Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook group, or this video has been clipped and is on Twitter that you're seeing it after the fact. Regardless, if you can hear these words, things are not as bad as they can be. So I hope that whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, you can take just that moment to be thankful for what you do have, because you know what? We've all got at least something, and that's pretty good. And sometimes that's all you need. So, salud, l'chaim,
nostrova.
Oh, that's the good stuff. Hoping that everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. And as soon as Thanksgiving is over, turn your attention to those New York Jets. Brain, you want to sing the song one more time so we can say goodbye to the people with it?
I'd love to sing it. Sing the song.
All right, here we go. Sing along at home. Sing along in the car. Join us. This song is not just for me and the Brain. It's for everybody. And as again, we're going to do all things with love. We're going to sing this song with love. Right now, here we go. Oh, fuck the Jets, fuck the Jets, fuck the fucking Jets. Fuck the Jets, fuck the Jets, fuck the fucking Jets. Fuck the Jets, fuck the Jets, fuck the fucking Jets.
Fuck the Jets, fuck the Jets, fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets.
Take care of yourselves and each other. We will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody. And as always, go Dolphins!
It would be pretty sweet to get a shot. Just saying.